remember the life that I've given to you. That's the thing you ought to memorize today. His way, his walk. This feeling stuff about memorizing and thinking we're drinking mineral blood. That's not going to do us any good.
We're going to have the blood of God and the issues of life flowing down in the depths of our hearts. Oh, hallelujah. He's the only man that has overcome. He's the only man that said the final no to the pleasure of him. He's the only man that defied the subtlety of the church. All the world is saying today, you know what the world is saying? You know what they're saying with you? You know how they say you're here today, young women? Men, women? You know what the psychologists say? Because you're here because of frustrated sex. You're here because of one desire or another. They say that there's no honesty in us. We're all animals. Jesus produced the very fact that we're not all animals. An animal won't lay down his life for his fellow. An animal won't give himself freely for his fellow man. But Jesus gave himself and paid the last farthing. Now I want you to look at hypocrisy just a moment, as I have faced it in my own life. All of us seem to face the thing. You know, a lot of preachers are standing behind their pulpit are preaching because of a desire to be in the limelight. A lot of you are out there because of your Sunday school job or your position or because you think it's an acceptable thing to do or your social reputation. A lot of preachers are behind you because of the money they get. A lot of preachers are behind here because of a frustrated sex life. You say, that's phone talking. It is phone talking. It's about time we woke up. And it's about time we woke up. There's a lot of us are here for the limelight. And I will tell you, I was here for the limelight one time. When the loaves and the fishes were flowing, I felt real good. But God made me to see I was going to have to get out of that realm because it was a hypocritical realm. And I got to get out on the highways and hedges and knock on doors and take communion to the little person in the sick bed where there was nobody else around. And I went to the jailers and I took on a prison ministry and I took on an orphan's ministry. And I got over that thing that was a desire in my place to be in the limelight. Do you know that's a curse? I said, that's a curse. It's hypocrisy. He said, my God, you're making this thing so tight, nobody's going to get in. I'm talking about getting saved. You make it in because God's going to make you make it in. He said, as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive, every man in his own order. He said, if he has to save you to hell, that your works might be burned, that your flesh might be saved, so as by fire or life. But honey, I don't want to feel that way. Did anybody get that? This thing disturbing me. I think I've been around here too long. In fact, I've been around this earth so long it's getting natural to me. And I even walk in places I think I've been there before. And it seems like I don't know any place else. There's a little child when he's born, he's just come from heaven, and that's why he's got so much freshness and spontaneity and smiles from cheek to cheek. But you know, we're getting farther and farther away from heaven, and it's about time we went back to the Father's house. He said some of us could be made a pillar in the temple of the house of God and go no more out. I want to get to the place where I don't go any more out. That's my desire with all my heart, is to get to the place where I will swallow up mortality. Hypocrisy. That's why this morning I had to get to the place. One time money was the thing that tied me to the church. I got so disconcerted and so antagonized with people. They troubled me and their burdens and their gripes and their complaints. I said, bless God, the only reason I'm here is for that check. If I didn't get that check, if I had any other way of making my money, I'd be gone. Oh, you said, why, you terrible, terrible fellow. There's a lot of others stole it too and still taking the money. I'm talking about hypocrisy this morning. I'm talking about the things that are in our heart that are not like God. And we're going to have to get the things out of the way. And so I got down on my face and I said, God, you're going to have to make me love these people. And he said, I'll make you love these people. And I'll let you serve them if you don't make my gospel of any merchandise. You're going to have to give it freely as I've given it to you. And so I stopped my prayer and I stopped my offerings. And from that day forward, I got victory over the hypocritical point there. But there's just two points. I don't know if I'm touching any of you. You may be here for various reasons. I don't know what you're here for. But you better find out, honey, because the Lord knows. He said there's nothing hidden that's not going to be revealed. He said there's nothing closed that's not going to be open. Now, you think you're pretty smart, but you're not smart. You're ignorant. You and I have been ignorant. We've been playing around out here in the mud pen for how long creation's begin. We've been fooling around. I said, we've all come under the curse of Adam, haven't we? We've all lived in Adam's realm. We're all in this mortal trouble, this serpent version. We better come on out of it. I don't care what kind of doctrine I'm trying to present. It's one fact, sure, that we've been in this realm a long time. I one time then considered another thing come to me in the consciousness of my prayer. I was in the service of the Lord to avoid the draft. A lot of pictures like that, too. You know? Oh, God, I guess it doesn't do any good to confess up. So some people know they don't have any need to confess up. All of you are the eagles, and you're in the first order, and you've already swallowed up all hypocrisy. I guess I'm preaching the wrong crowd, but anyway, I'm going to tell you from where I sit, and that's all I can do. And I thought, well, I can't quit. I want to quit. I got my other things. I got the limelight, and I got all that out of my system. I said, I can't quit. I just can't quit their draft, and I don't want to go to work. You know what I'm talking about now. Then all of a sudden I said, God, I've got to get over that thing. What am I going to do about it? How will I ever know whether? I said, Lord, I want to be sincere with you. I want to serve you. I don't think sometimes I'm doing a bit of good for people, but I want to feel that I'm serving you with all my heart. You know, when you really get desperate for God, God will make a way for us. When we begin to thirst for the kingdom, he'll give us the kingdom. When we begin to hunger, he'll show us the way. But you've got to be hungry. You have to be hungry. He that hungers and thirsts about the righteousness shall be filled. You know what happened all that time? When I really meant business with God, I got a notice in the draft board that you couldn't be drafted even if you weren't a preacher because you happened to adopt the child just 3 days before the deadline. And now we're not taking anybody that has any children beyond that point in time. So when I meant business with God, he showed me that I wasn't in it because of the draft dodge and business. You see what I'm talking about this morning? There's a lot of things that we're in. We do a lot of things because of an improper attitude. We do a lot of things because of that pleasure principle. Oh, I wish I had the ability to talk like some people. I wish I could command your attention like some people. I wish I could pour out to you what's in my heart because it would satisfy your desires if you just listen. Glory, hallelujah. Bless his name. Can you say bless his name? Tell him you smile. You can't say bless his name, you just smile, then I'll know at least you're saying it. Then it occurred to me, you like to talk. So God made me sit down for a few weeks and let somebody else talk. And I found that the true thing is not by talking, it's by serving. A lot of us are still talking and we like to talk. If we shut our testimony off, we wouldn't serve God a minute. Hypocrisy is in our heart, and we've got to get the thing out of our heart. Then God dealt with my heart one time, all the pictures I was saying, praise the Lord, and patting them on the back and saying, honey and darling, God spoke in my heart, your attitude's not clean. Come on now, come on. Oh, so you do for a few people. You got so holy. You know what I'm talking about now. Why don't you say honey and do it to the men just as much as you do to the women? Well, I never touched a woman, no. No, I was a goody-goody. I used to come around here and brag about it. I never touched any woman. I never did anything before marriage or after marriage. I was a goody-goody. But all this house. You know what I'm talking about? This house. This house. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but someday you get so miserable at the end of yourself and you want to make the kingdom so bad, you begin to look at your heart. The Lord dealt with me, get my hands and paws off people and quit calling them darling and honey and recognize all people who love the men just as well as they love the women. Glory, hallelujah. Now, come on. You don't have to touch somebody. You don't have to go out and have a horrible relationship with somebody to have iniquity in your heart. I tell you, God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And you've got to get that thing out of your heart if you want to save it. Why, there's a lot of you, there's a lot of women today that going to a Caesar. It's nothing but a sublimated sex spot. Come on now. I'm not talking about all of you. I'm talking about some. Have you ever seen it? Have you ever come up against small towns like that? Well, don't be too quick to check me. I've seen some of it. You must be sure that you're praising God out of the depths of your heart. out of the sincerity of your soul, that you're worshiping Him because you love Him, not because of any other desire. Do you know your mind can so deceive you, your mortality system can so hinder you, that you might be in things because of the satisfaction? There are some people whose emotion is their whole guide to faith. They can't settle down and hear anything that requires deeper life. There will not be anything that helps satisfy them. And we must get to the place where we serve God, not because of anything that it does for us. Not because of anything that it does for us, but because we just want it, we want to do it. Then you know there's another thing. I've been facing and I'm still facing. I've overcome that. Now, bless God, I see people as people. In the body, they see the male and the female, bond or free. Now, some of you today, you are criticizing this in your mind, but tomorrow you face these same things. You have to look at your heart and have to look in your heart and see some of these abominable things that will keep you out of the kingdom. And you're not going to get in it with anything of hypocrisy. You're going to have to clean yourself up inside and outside to enter into the saving relationship of God. Remember, there's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved except the name of Jesus. That's the only way you're going to get saved, is by what is the name. That's the nature and the character of Jesus Christ. This thing is so long that I can't press in all of it, but if you could just get just a nugget of this thought in your mind, hypothesis. Why are you doing this? The last few weeks I've been doing things because I want to be needed. But God's showing me a place you've got to even get out of that. I've told people I want people to love me. How many of you want somebody to love you? You tell me, oh God, if they could just see my heart, I want them to know that I'm honest. And most of us are trying to be honest. We're trying to say, and we'd just like to have somebody say amen. Even now, I'd like telling you to say amen. But you won't. When you just say, well, I don't understand it, so I won't give any encouragement. And you know what? I can't wait on you to get behind me, or you can't wait on me to get behind you. We've got to be able to overcome this thing and not even be able to depend upon anything. I'm still a hypocrite in that area. I want you to need me. I want to be needed. But Jesus got the place where it didn't make a difference whether I needed him or not. He wanted them. He was in that realm too. He was fighting with that tendency of hypocrisy. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I would have you come unto me if you would not. He wanted them to want him. But he even said, Lord, if it's necessary, my God, I'll give it up. I wish you'd remove this cup from me, but I'll, if necessary, I'll go the last mile. Even on the cross, when he didn't have one soul, not one soul that loved him. This is too hard for some of you. As I said, poor preaching was a part of this. But there's some of you that are no more ready for the kingdom than the fly. And I'm telling you, I'm going to preach to people that want the kingdom. I'm so tired of picking people's ears and talking the church routine and putting people to sleep, I don't know what to do. I'm going to preach this thing. I'm going to preach the ultimate. And he says, straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and few there be that find the way to life. I'm talking about life. I'm not talking about getting in as a thief and a robber. I'm not talking about getting in by the purgation of hell. I'm not talking about the refiner's fire. I'm not talking about the message of God. None of them, because he said, you're going to die. As in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order. I want to go as far as God will let me go, don't you? I want to enter into the purity of his mind and get all self and everything that is defiled out of his way. Oh, God, help us this morning to see that. Jesus was prepared to even say, I'll serve him, whether they want me or not. You that are thinking about Easter, you don't remember anything before. Think about what this was. Walking up Golgotha Hill, and they couldn't even get anybody to bear his cross. They got this son of God, this person, Simeon, and they had to draft him. They had to draft him by putting an ultimatum on him to get him to take the cross up the hill. He didn't have anybody there, and they bartered his robe. They spit on him. Hear me this morning. Some of you think you understand the way of Jesus Christ. It's a hard way. He said some of you haven't laid down your life yet, but you're going to have to lay it down. Some of you haven't shed your blood yet, but you're going to have to shed your blood. This is a hard way. It's a straight way, and he will be the fighter. He went all the way to Golgotha Hill. Stuck on that cross between two thieves, looking at him bartering his own clothes and no respect for him, challenging him and sarcastically admiring him. No love and no mercy, no compassion. Nobody needed him, but it still didn't stop him. Nobody cared whether he lived or died, mocking him, position, you healed others, now heal yourself. All he's done, they didn't even remember his beard. All they could do was just throw slams at him. But what did he say to him? He looked down on that crowd that didn't even want him anymore. Did you do that? How are you being judged this morning if somebody didn't want you? None of you! That's what I've got me for you. If somebody didn't want you here, none of you'd be here. Neither would I. I said, neither would I. Because I'm still in that mortality. Wouldn't be any of us here this morning if we were fully in the place of Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus, brother Jesus. He looked out on them, was they wandering or not? He said, Father, they didn't ask you for forgiveness, didn't make any difference. But he knew from whence he came and where he was going. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They didn't even ask him. We know he prayed for somebody. They said, ask it. We said, that's God, I'm not going to do that drunk down there. Well, I didn't go there. I'm going to throw you out. He didn't care. He wasn't even asked to help him. He just said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. That's only one little thought I have done to bring out because of the vibration. And as I say this morning, how all of you woke up because you're about ready to go home. 12:05, and I have bored some of you, and I'm sorry. But it's not altogether my fault. Because I would have had an easier flow if you'd grow up. As long as you are so self-centered with our Easter bonnets and our baskets and our thoughts of what we come to church and what we want to get out of church when we come for a blessing. So you said, I just got to get that blessing. I didn't have that child on Sunday morning. I couldn't make it all the week. Oh, come off of that. I said, come off of that. I like to shout as best as anybody else, but if you're coming to church for that reason, you're never going to make the team. I'm the nicest preacher that ever was, but if you don't watch it, your emotions can get between you and God, you can just get a real slam. You can just get a kind of a kick, as the narcotic people say. You can get a kick out of your emotions. Yes, you can. Now, I know what I'm talking about. You can just trade all your energies off and just have a hallelujah hold down and be just righteous. And you out and you carry the whip of devil. If you meet him on the Sunday school set, you couldn't even master any art because he's just thrown all your energies away. Hallelujah, you had a hallelujah good time. You don't even know what happened. And when he comes out, let me get home. And get the blessing out of this. I'll have to go home and have a nap. This is important to you because some of you haven't thought. You've taken man's version. The Bible goes on and said, blasphemy the Holy Ghost. Goes on to say, when you go in the synagogue and you get up against churches, take your Bible. Doesn't say that. It says, go there, take no thought for what you should say, for in that hour I'll speak to you. If you know a lot of you today, Your teachers, and even the Bible is telling you the harm, but your teachers have told you what the Bible says. And for the life of you, when you read the scriptures, you don't see what the Spirit says, you see what the teacher told you is there. And you hear what your doctor, some of us have been...